Our message is entitled For the Testimony of Jesus Christ, taken from Revelation chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9. In a few hours, the year of grace 2020 will be behind us. Another year is dawning. The year of grace 2021 will be ushered in. This has been an extraordinary and unusual year. Before the end of March, the church was beginning to gather online for the first time in the history of our existence, and this was the case for 3 months. The church only reopened on the 28th of June. And as we think and reflect upon this period of time, we thank the Lord that He takes full responsibility for our care. He directs the way ahead for us. The way may be fraught with uncertainty, with danger, perhaps in a predative and even a barren environment. But our God, our Shepherd, we, His sheep, weak, helpless, to fend for ourselves. We thank God for the shepherd's deliberate care for our continued well-being. How privileged we are to be under the care of God. It is in these times that we realize the presence and the working of God in our hearts, in our lives, in a very real way, especially in answering the prayers of His people. We thank the Lord in this COVID world where safety seemed so elusive in the hearts of many. God's people may safely entrust their protection to the Almighty God. Faith dispels fear. The people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. How they were delivered by the almighty hand of God from spiritual bondage. Lest we forget, here at the close of this year, the Lord seeks that His people may be reminded to be steadfast, trusting the Lord. We bear the testimony of Jesus Christ, which the book of Revelation reveals to us is the beginning and the culmination of human history. For His church, the Lord has gathered and established His people, God's flock. As the people of God, we are reminded of His care and protection upon us over the past year, and over the years, He has brought us through safely. We are reminded to exercise confidence in our God's continued care upon us amidst present and future, perhaps hostile environment. The Word of God says how the Lord led His people on safely so that they feared not. We are reminded to think and rehearse of God and His past deliverance. His deliverance upon us over the last 30 weeks, we may say. You know, if God will to open our eyes to see the spiritual realm, we may be very frightened of the dangers that can befall us or that is surrounding us. But because the Lord shielded us from all this danger, He protected us by His holy angels, we may come with thanksgiving to remind ourselves that we have a God who cares for us. No doubt, there were the anxious moments, getting our necessities, entailing long queues in the supermarket, getting out of the house was not permitted. But the Lord allows us, the people of God, to take time, to spend time, to meditate upon Him and His Word. And we may say that He has given gladness in our heart. We are able to, by the teaching of the Word of God, have a meditative mind upon the Word of God, to think about God, and to cast our care upon Him through prayer. We thank the Lord for His grace in seeing His church through the last many weeks, since the 28th of June, when we began to gather for holy worship. Tonight is a night for reflection, to think of God's goodness toward us, to count our blessings, and to give thanks for His marvelous grace. More than that, it is also a time of preparation. As we look forward to the coming year, I'm reminded to look at the book of Revelation, because the study of the book of Revelation holds the key to unlocking the door of understanding to current world events. As the future is unveiled before us in the study of the book of Revelation, it provides the clues to understanding the current events leading to the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The climatic reunion between the church, the bride of Christ, and her bridegroom, Jesus Christ. You think about the wedding. You think about the bride preparing for the wedding. The bridegroom, the time of the culminating to the marriage feast. What a climatic rejoicing. A joy of a lifetime. Well, the events of human history is speeding to that reunion. is speeding to that culmination, the time when we would meet our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, and John the writer says, that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Right? When you think of your bodily weakness, your backache, perhaps your weak limbs, when you think about your physical weakness, perhaps sometimes not being able to take hold of yourself mentally. Right? There are times when, well, perhaps we feel fainting spells. We realize life doesn't put everything together. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is promised to us life beyond this life. And the book of Revelation leads us from present time to eternity to help us to see that there is an eternity that is transiting, that we are transiting into. And the events of this world is leading us into that transition. We are seeing the movement towards the formation of the Antichrist kingdom. How fast will it be? Well, as believers, we are assured of ultimate victory. There will be a contention in this world. And do you know what is that contention? It is between light and darkness. And it is beyond the economic. It is beyond the political. It is beyond the religious. When we speak about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is political, it is economic, it is religious, because Christ will come and establish worship upon earth so that men will learn to acknowledge the source of their being, the source of their life, sustenance. God wants us to understand how privileged and precious it is for us to know the living and true God. So the writer of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, brings us to see the blessing in verse 3. He says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand." This book is written for the blessing of His people. God's plan is to bless His people with the vision of their eternal abode, their blessed eternal abode in heaven. And the book of Revelation describes for us that transition. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We are coming to the 7th year of this church. I recall when we began in November 17, 2013, we had a series of messages. The messages of Christ to the 7 churches in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 3, is given the message of God, of Christ, to the church, in the church age. The challenges that the church would face. And we recall the exhortation that the church would be faithful to earnestly contend for the faith. And it's given to us the many ailments of the church. And the many exhortations to overcome. The many exhortations to overcome. This is the book of Revelation. It speaks of the culmination of human history, whereby the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return to bring His church to glory. And the believers will reign with Christ in the kingdom upon His return, 1,000 years. Now, when you think about it, it seems so out of this world, seems so mind-boggling that God is doing a work that He has begun in your heart, in your life, from the time you come to know Him. And that's what is recorded for us in verse 5 and verse 6. The witness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the first begotten from the dead. He is the one who conquered death by His resurrection 2,000 years ago. Physical resurrection from the dead. We are told here that He is the one that loved us, that reached out to us, that washed us from all our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. What a glorious position of influence He has made us. Unto Him that loved us, that's the blessing, that is the blessing of the blessed of God. Unto Him that loved us, Him who came, the babe, the Son of God, lying in the manger, and that babe was to grow. And when he began his ministry at the age of 30, it would culminate to his betrayal and his death on the cross. How it was effectual. His sacrificing upon the cross washed us from our sins. He washed us from our sins by his own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, our blood has a function of cleansing. The blood has that function of removing the toxic, the debris, all that is the unwanted waste that is in the body, to renew it, to rejuvenate it, to restore it. We have been plagued with the disease of sin. The world has been plagued with the disease of sin. And that disease of sin was cured through the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is here describing for us the sacred work, the blessed work of salvation that has been accorded to us because God loved us. He reached out to us. We came to know Him, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and Savior. It's a time of reflection. How God has led you, how God has saved you, how God has brought you into the fold. And what is He doing for you in your life? Well, He has made us kings and priests. Priests unto God. What do you mean by that? Well, we can draw nigh to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. We can have access to the throne of grace, access to the power of God through prayer. You realize that God has been so gracious to us to lead us to know Him and to give us eternal life, to save our souls from the damnation of hellfire. This year, there were those who sought that we would pray for physical healing. But more than physical healing, let us look for spiritual healing and eternal healing, that we may enter into eternity with Christ. That's the greater blessing. Because this physical life, we know, living in this cursed world, the body deteriorates. This tabernacle, this temporary body of ours, just doesn't get better, but gets worse, gets weaker. And we go to our final eternal home. And so here, as we think about it, the Lord is saying to us that there is a plan that God has for this world, a salvation plan to save the souls of men from the judgment to come. You know, when it comes to a time of pestilence and war and rumors of war, it just tells us about the frailty of life, the weakness of this physical life. And how can we overcome? Well, the overcoming of it is spiritual. It's within you. God gives us that new life in Christ when we get to know Him. And that is why John, the apostle, he was tasked to write, verse 9 of our text says, this text, in a time when he was in the prison, in a place called Patmos. Verse 9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, a little island, a jail. I recall visiting that place, at a distance. We were at Ephesus. And from Ephesus, we were able to see the island of Patmos. There, the imprisonment of the Apostle John. And we were told also that the Christian had to live a fugitive life at that time, because of great persecution. To worship Jesus Christ as God, as the Son of God, was prohibited. And it's interesting, because when we speak about worship, we are speaking about giving our allegiance, our heart, our being towards something. And here, John is testifying for us, is that we are to give our life, our allegiance, our worship to the Creator of heaven and earth, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told that He makes us priests unto God and kings. Kings reign. Kings have authority. And we are told that the church would be given the authority to reign with Christ on earth for 1,000 years. What is this reigning? Well, you look at the world today. Nation states individual nation states and individual countries, sovereign states, since the dispersal of men at the Tower of Babel. But a time will come, our Lord Jesus Christ will come and reign upon earth. And the book of Revelation is saying to us that that time is at hand. Verse 3, right at the end of our text, says, "Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth those things, for the time is at hand." As we look at the world around us, the proliferation of pestilences, of wars, and rumors of wars, but we realize that all this is culminating to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And coming dominion upon the earth. And there is a resistance that is going on around the world. A resistance against the church, against the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only God, the only Savior of the world. And the Lord wants us to see and this is one reason for the contention that is going on for the last 6 or 7 months, 1 year, where the church assembly is almost totally shut down. This is the contention today. This is the contention that we are facing. The work between light and darkness in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. The battle that is going on. For our souls. And the church of Jesus Christ must realize the perils of the time and continue to keep faith, continue to be strengthened in the faith. For a time is come when our Lord will return. Verse 7 of our text tells us, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Here our text speaks to us concerning a time when Christ will return and the world would reject him. Today, we are reminded that we are living in those times. And the Bible describes those times as the times of Noah. Noah lived in the midst of a godless world before the judgment of the global flood. And he obeyed God's instruction fully to build an ark. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What did Noah do? By faith, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The book of Revelation opens up for us the judgment of God in the 7-year tribulation, in which the earth will go through a period of great calamity. And we are saying to you that the time is at hand. The time is near. And the book of Revelation tells us in chapter 14 that when the judgment of God comes, there will be a great earthquake and all the islands will be swept away. We will be swept away. All the work that is being put in on this earth will be destroyed. But for the church of Jesus Christ, we have the blessed hope that the Lord will bring us to heaven in the rapture of the church. The church will be caught up to heaven before the judgment would fall upon planet Earth. So the book of Revelation tells us in chapter 2 and 3, the church age. And from chapter 4 onwards, all the way to chapter 19, would give us the judgment of God upon planet Earth in the 7-year tribulation, culminating in the coming of Christ. And then there will be a great judgment, the great white throne judgment, where men would be judged for their works. Revelation chapter 20. And God is speaking to us to help us to see our privileged position in the sight of God. You see, we are given the mandate to declare the gospel. The gospel, the complete provision for all the wants of man's soul. There is a supply that God would give to everything that he would require. Spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst would be relieved. Peace, pardon from God, and a living hope in this world. God gives us all of this. And the call of God is for his servants, the heralds of the gospel, to proclaim it to every man and woman that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A time is coming when there will be time no more, when Jesus Christ will return to judge the world. The world that rejects Jesus will because of him. The writer of the Gospel in Matthew recorded for us in Matthew 22, verse 11 to 13. When the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, "Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And the king said to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here is described for us a time of judgment, a reckoning of God that would come, when God would distinguish his people. And we are called upon to know, right, the blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? Well, that he loved us and that he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that he has made us kings and priests unto God. We have direct access to God in Jesus Christ. And one day we would reign with him again on earth. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4. John says, "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The church reigning with his Lord. And the Lord wants us to understand concerning this. "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." What is that first resurrection? That is the catching up of the church to heaven, all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. A time will come when Christ would return and bring us to heaven. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." On such, verse 6 says, "The second death hath no power." If you are born again, a true child of God, you will participate in this first resurrection, caught up to heaven. All the dead in Christ. Just about a month ago, my own grandmother went home to be with the Lord. and she was buried with the hope of the resurrection. What is this hope of the resurrection? Well, when she took that last breath, her soul was immediately brought to heaven. But the body was buried. And a time will come when Christ will return and Christ would remake a new resurrection body for her. The soul and the body will come together again. And the Bible tells us that we could be in that generation to be caught up to heaven alive without facing death, like Enoch, like Elijah. Well, this is what the Bible is speaking to us, and the times, the signs of the times, is saying to us. We are living in those times, dear friends. Are you aware of it? Verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Have you read through and studied the book? Well, we tried to do so in our devotion over the last 1.5 years. Arduous task. Searching and seeking. But it opens us to understand the nearness of the Lord's return. And I ask you to do that searching for yourself. Study so that your eyes will be open, so that your eyes will be brought to understand and see the perils of the times, the perils to the souls of the people around us, so that we will be awakened to understand and know the work that Jesus Christ has entrusted to us before his coming, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have been blessed because he has loved us and he has washed us from our sins by his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto him. This is our privilege. And we have our cup full, enjoying the blessings of God. But there are many others who are perishing. Many others who do not know their right hand from the left hand. And we are called to this task of understanding it ourselves and then to share it so that others may receive, be partakers of that divine nature in Christ. And so this is the blessing that God has for us. That we may bear a testimony for the Lord. And how can we do so? be energized ourselves? And how can you be energized except if you would spend time to read the Word of God? Right, today we give out 3 certificates of completion to 3 of our brethren who have completed reading the Bible cover to cover from January to December. January the 1st to December the 31st. Today is the last day. They have put in the effort to read. And I believe that as we take time to read the Word of God, He's going to transform your life. It has transformed mine. And where does the energy come from? Well, except the Lord gives it. And how can we receive it? Except we spend time to meditate and read the Word of God. That's the life-giving power. How can I explain it and illustrate it to all of us? Well, you look at a seed. How the seed grows into a plant. How does the plant, you know, have its system of generating food? The sun shines on the green tree, green leaves, and the leaves harness food in a process called photosynthesis. And how the tree is nourished, the plant is nourished, and how the water from the roots is brought up to nourish the entire plant. How miraculous. God's creation. Same for us. The spiritual life. How is it energized? By the Word of God. We must take time to read. And the word there, blessed, Makarios, is not just being happy. But the word there describes a man who is fully acquainted with God and receiving the blessing of God in that life that God gives to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The blessing of life with God, spiritual life, life in the Spirit, life that enables us, right, to have the wisdom, the understanding, to know the things around us, to be able to read the papers and say this is false. In the light of Scripture, the Lord wants us to have and to be blessed with understanding. And this understanding comes when we will take time to dwell in His Word. So, here this is the blessing. To read, to hear, and to keep the words that are written therein. The time is at hand. so that we would reorder our energies, our priorities. We would understand what are the things that we ought to do, how we would spend our time. May the Lord help us, strengthen us by His grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. Strengthen us and help us to understand the times that we are in and the coming of the Lord. Indeed, is nigh. And we pray that the people of God may understand the signs of the times and may be energized with the Spirit to proclaim the coming Christ, to share the good news of the gospel, so that men and women may receive, embrace the love of God and be freed from the bondage of sin. Help us, Lord. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.